book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 35. This is what it says. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How would this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Well, this morning's pastor titled it, "For You Are Greatly Loved to a People Favored by God, Come Jesus Christ." Pastor?
Thank you, Carrie. And Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
It is indeed a Merry Christmas because Christ was born. And Christ still lives today because he is our God. So most of us think of the birth of Jesus Christ having happened 2,000 years ago. But I would have you know that the birth of Jesus Christ started before that. Something happened 500 years before the birth of Jesus Christ that was essential to the birth of Jesus Christ. Today we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 1, where the angel Gabriel comes to the Virgin Mary to tell her that she will become pregnant with the baby Jesus, and Jesus will be born, and he is the Savior, he is our Lord, he is God. Hallelujah for Jesus Christ. He is a wonderful blessing to us all. But this was not the first time that the angel Gabriel came to someone to tell someone about the birth of Jesus Christ. This happened 500 years before he went to Mary in the book of Daniel to the prophet Daniel. So let us go ahead and move into Daniel 9, verses 1 through 3, where we see the scene where Daniel is praying. He is praying to the Lord God. This is during the 70-year exile of Israel into Babylon. They are being punished by God, exiled into Babylon. Jerusalem has been destroyed, and Daniel is a righteous man. No, he is a sinner, yes, but he is a righteous man through faith, and here he begins to pray to his God, the God of Israel, the God who is Jesus Christ. Daniel 9, 1 through 3. "In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. So we see in the first year of King Darius, son of Xerxes, roughly 500 years before the birth of Jesus, when Jerusalem had been destroyed, during the judgment of God's people Israel in their exile to Babylon, the faithful prophet and Jewish leader, Daniel, cried out to God in prayer and petition, in fasting, wearing robes of mourning made of sackcloth and ashes, pleading with God for mercy upon his people, Israel, because it would be 70 years before Jerusalem could be restored. You see, Daniel prayed fervently for the mercy of God. And Daniel said, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame, the men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings, our princes and our fathers are covered with shame, because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does. Yet we have not obeyed him. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, O God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because of we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. Let us pray here today. Dear Lord, Father, just like the people of Israel and Daniel, Father, we have not always obeyed your laws and your decrees. We have not always honored your name, Father. We have not always loved you as we should. We have sinned against you. We have sinned against each other, Father. We have hated your law, Father. And because of this, we deserve your great judgment, Father. We all deserve eternal hell, Father, for what we have done, Father. But we plead with you because of your great mercy, Father, just as Daniel did. Father, forgive our sins. Father, give us love. Father, give us everything we need, Father. We want to be with you forever in heaven, Father. We want to have Jesus Christ as our own Lord and Savior. We want to have him as our King, Father. We do not deserve Jesus Christ, Father. In fact, we would not know Jesus Christ if it were not for you loving us first, Father. But now point us to the story that tells us the answer to Daniel's prayers, the answer to our prayers, Father, in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Give us hope, Father, even when it seems sometimes that there might be no hope. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. After Daniel prayed that prayer in Daniel 9:20-23, Daniel received an answer to his prayer immediately. While I, Daniel, was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God, while I was speaking in prayer, the man, also the angel, Gabriel, who I had seen in the vision at the first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, O Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you, for you, Daniel, are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. Daniel spoke and prayed to God, confessing his own sin and the sin of God's people, Israel. He desperately pleaded with God for the people of Israel. And while he was praying for him and his people, an angel came to him named Gabriel, whom he had earlier seen in a vision. Gabriel came quickly and around the time of the evening sacrifice. Gabriel came to help Daniel understand a vision he had had earlier. Gabriel spoke to Daniel and told him that he had come to give him understanding of how God would answer his prayer. While Daniel had been praying for mercy, a word had went out from the mouth of God, and Gabriel had come to tell it to Daniel. For Daniel and the people of Israel are greatly loved. Daniel 9:24 is the beginning of that vision, that prophecy that Daniel was given. 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, and to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint a most holy place. The explanation of the entire vision would be complex, but Gabriel gave a summary of what would happen in response to Daniel's prayer for mercy. There will be 70 weeks of time before the answer to Daniel's prayer. But these would not be normal weeks. Each week would be 7 years of time rather than days of time. So 70 weeks would be equal to 493 years. Or roughly 500 years of time. This would be exactly the time that would pass before the birth of a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Gabriel came to announce that in 500 years, the people of Israel would see an end to transgression and sin. An atonement for their iniquity, their sin, against God, and that there would come an everlasting righteousness. And there would be a fulfillment of the visions and prophecies given to Daniel in the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Finally, there will be an anointing of a most holy place, which is heaven itself. As the doors of the kingdom of Christ opened, so that all who would believe in him would be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. You can see how this prophecy is fulfilled in the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Atonement. An end to transgression and sin. An everlasting righteousness in Jesus Christ. So let us fast forward 500 years later to when the angel Gabriel returns again to announce the fulfillment of this vision. An answer to Daniel's prayer and an answer to the hope of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Luke 1:26-27. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. 500 years after Daniel's prayer, in the sixth month of the year, God sent the angel Gabriel to the city of Nazareth in Galilee, to the virgin girl Mary, who was an heir to the throne of Israel, a descendant of King David. She was betrothed to marry Joseph, a carpenter, who was also an heir to the throne of King David. She was a virgin, meaning she had never been with a man, and thus could not conceive a child on her own. Luke 1:28-30. And he came to her, Gabriel came to her, and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel Gabriel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Gabriel greeted Mary by telling her she was favored by God and that he was with her. For she and the people of Israel are greatly loved. But Mary could not fathom such a greeting from an angel, for she was a humble Jewish girl who feared God. Mary was a sinner like everyone else who had descended from Adam and Eve, all of us. But Gabriel told her not to be afraid, because she had found favor with God. Luke 1:31-33. Gabriel continues, "And behold, Mary, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Gabriel told her to behold, to look at, to pay attention, when he explained to her that she would conceive a child in her womb and bear a son. The child's name was to be called Jesus. The name Jesus means simply God saves, or Yahweh saves. And he would indeed be the salvation of Mary and her people, Israel. Gabriel explained that Jesus would be the greatest man who had ever lived, because he would be the Son of the Most High God. God would give him the throne of his ancestor, King David, and Jesus would reign over his kingdom forever and ever. There would be no end to Jesus's kingdom. And what Gabriel says harkens back again to Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, a different vision that Daniel had had. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. 500 years before Gabriel came to meet with Mary, Daniel had seen a vision of Jesus Christ, who calls himself the Son of Man. Jesus will come from the clouds of heaven as God, to come before God the Father, called the Ancient of Days, and be presented before him. Jesus will be given dominion and a glory and a kingdom so that all peoples, nations, and languages might serve him. Everyone will serve Jesus Christ in the end because he is himself the Son of God, God himself in human form. Jesus' rule over the kingdom of heaven will never pass away. It will be everlasting, and his kingdom will never be destroyed as he rules as God. Back to Luke 1, 34 and 35. Hearing all this, Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel Gabriel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." But Mary was astonished at what Gabriel was telling her. How could she conceive a child without knowing a man? With no earthly father, how could Jesus be born? Gabriel explained to Mary that the Holy Spirit, who is God himself, would be the father of her child, Jesus. The very power of the Most High God would overshadow her physical body and conceive Jesus, that he would be perfectly holy and sinless, the very Son of God himself. Jesus would never sin in his entire life. He would be perfectly righteous, so that all who trust in his righteous life would stand before God as if they had never sinned. Because of our sin, we deserve the punishment of God, eternal hell. But by repenting of our sins and trusting in Jesus' righteous life, we receive his righteousness as our own. That is why it is important that he is holy, the Son of God. Moving forward into Luke 2, verses 1 through 8, the story goes on. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph, Jesus' father, also went up to Galilee from the town of Nazareth to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So after Gabriel had come to Mary to tell her of her pregnancy with Jesus, Mary and Joseph traveled to their home city, Bethlehem, because that was the home city of King David, their ancestor. Both Mary and Joseph were heirs to the Jewish throne. While in Bethlehem, Mary gave birth to Jesus, the King of Israel, the Son of God. The God of the universe would be born in a manger with the animals among the shepherds who were in the field watching over their flock at night. Jesus would be the greatest shepherd that ever lived, shepherding his people from their sinful condemnation into salvation from the penalty of the Father's wrath, the penalty of hell, into eternal life itself in heaven with his Father. All who believe in Jesus, Jew and Gentile, will be saved. Luke 2, 9 through 11 goes on. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." An angel appeared to the shepherds that day, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. All of them were filled with great fear of God. The angel told them that there was now announced to them a gospel or good news of great joy for all the people who would believe in this child, Jesus Christ. In Bethlehem, the city of the great King David, was born the Son of David, King Jesus, who is the Christ, which means Messiah, and is also the Lord God himself in human form. God himself became a man. Jesus is a God-man, truly God and truly man, so that he will save his people, both the people of Israel who believe in him and everyone else who would believe in him, save them from their sins. Luke 2, 12 through 14 concludes this story. "And this will be a sign for you," the angels said. "You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." They would find Jesus lying in a manger, humble and lowly in heart, but also the greatest glory that the world has ever known, such that all the heavenly host, all the angels of God, praised God by saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." For those who believe in Jesus are greatly loved, a people favored by God, those with whom he is pleased. So what must we know and believe to receive this gospel, this good news of great joy for all who believe in Jesus? What must we know and believe? How can we apply this story, this great news of Jesus? I'll give you three scriptures, three applications. 1 John 4:9-10. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The love of God was made manifest among his people when God sent his only Son, Jesus, into the world. Those who trust in him live through him, receiving his righteousness as our own so that we might be forgiven of our sins. Jesus' people are greatly loved by God because while they have not loved him first, he loved them first by sending his Son Jesus to be the propitiation for their sins. To be the propitiation for the sins of those who trust in him means Jesus took the wrath of God, the power of hell, in the place of everyone who trusts in him, and satisfied all of that wrath on the cross when he died, so that his people who trust in him would not have to face the penalty of hell themselves. Second scripture, Romans 5:8-9. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. God showed that Christ's people are greatly loved, a people who that while they were still sinners received the justification by Christ's blood when he died for them. When Jesus dies, he justifies or makes his people righteous. That's what it means to be justified, as he saves them from the wrath of God. The blood that Jesus spills on the cross demonstrates that he has taken the wrath of his Father, the punishment of hell that everyone deserves for their sin, in the place of those who believe in him. Third and final scripture. Ephesians 2:4-5. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. But God was not done with simply the perfect, sinless life of Jesus that his people lived through him, or Jesus' atoning death that absorbed the punishment of hell on the cross. But God, being rich in mercy, because his people are greatly loved, while his people were spiritually dead because of their trespasses and sins, headed to hell, they were made alive together with Christ in his resurrection. Everyone who believes has been saved by grace. We cannot do anything to earn salvation. Salvation can only happen through trust in the righteous life, atoning death, and life-giving resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel. So, if you have not already, repent or turn from your sin and trust in Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus Christ. Have faith in Jesus Christ this Christmas day. Let us pray. Dear Lord, how wondrous, how amazing that you responded to Daniel's prayer 2,500 years ago, Father, and you answered him and you sent the angel Gabriel to tell him of the day when Jesus would be born, Father. And then Gabriel returned 500 years later to Mary and told her of the birth of your son, Jesus, Father. I pray that we would all believe in this Jesus, love this Jesus, cherish this Jesus, celebrate this Jesus this Christmas day, Father, as we leave this place and we go among other people, Father, perhaps many people who do not know you, I pray that we would be sharing this good news of great joy with all who do not believe, so that they might know who Jesus is and what he has done, so that they might believe and trust in him for the salvation from the penalty of their sins. Father, I pray that all of us here, if we do not truly know him, would hear this wonderful, beautiful message of Christmas, Father, and believe. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.